The majority of suicides, in fact, occurred at home, but what really attracted the attention of the press were these many suicides that took place in public. In a way, the dark side of this public sphere, of this civic life. Suicides in restaurants, suicides in city parks, suicides where people jumped off the bridges of St. Petersburg into the canals and rivers, suicides right out of high apartment windows onto the street before. Public suicides, usually in broad daylight. Here was truly a dark side of this emerging civic life. Now, although the reasons for suicides were typically described in the newspaper reports that masses of urban Russians were reading as unclear, journalists who commented on these stories tended to always point in the same place: the nature of modern urban life, of Russia's transformation into an urban modern society. For example, one writer, a woman named Olga Gridina, who worked for a very popular St. Petersburg newspaper called Gazeta Kopeyka, which means the Kopeck Gazette, the penny newspaper, in other words, said that the main cause of this proliferation of suicides in Russia was simply the life of the modern city. At one point, she's writing about a very well-known story in which three young female students who had come from the provinces to advance themselves in St. Petersburg to study in its university committed suicide together in their apartment, dressed in white dresses, with Chopin's Funeral March on the piano, all very dramatic and often discussed. She said, why did these people, why did these women with all this possibility in the world depart from life? And her answer is, their youthful spirits thirsted for something elevated, ideal and great, but reality was bland and empty. And readers understood reality meant the reality of life in the modern urban capital like Petersburg. Or in another case, about another suicide, the same journalist and commentator, Olga Gridina, wrote, if one could count the numbers who sorrow and suffer in cities, humanity would shudder. In other words, for urban dwellers, city life was indeed full of excitement and possibility and opportunity, but it was also a place filled with danger and fear, anxiety, and a sense of doubt about where Russia was heading. One, of course, could see this in pondering the political news as well that appeared in newspapers. The promise of civil rights, the work of the Duma, the power of the new legislature, but also in the limited power of the Duma and the police supervision of all of this civic life could also lead one to this uncertain meaning of modern life. And of course, we see the same in everyday street life, everyday city life that people were reading about so often. I want to conclude by looking still more deeply into this new urban life, by looking at it from the perspective of the newest type of city dweller, the one who would become indeed so important, already was important in 1905, and so important in the history of 1917, namely the industrial worker. There's a lot of stories one could tell about urban workers in Russia in the early 20th century, stories workers told about themselves, or people writing about workers. One, of course, is the obvious story of workers' hardships in this new modern industrial city, the difficulties of migration from the village, terrible living and working conditions, deep poverty. Another is the story of the possibilities, the pleasures of being in the city and no longer back in the village. Indeed, many workers were quite pleased to be in the city, however poor their lives seemed to be. They were so much better than life in the village. And they found something exciting about city life, the swearing and the arguing and the hawking of goods in the public marketplaces, the noise of the streets, the glow of the lamplights at night, the sounds of the factory whistles, the rhythms of the drive belts, the heroism for many of strikes and demonstrations, all seemed to suggest that some new world was emerging for many workers, as we know from their own writings, since workers were indeed much more literate than peasants. Indeed, related to that is the story we could also tell that was often told of workers awakening, their growing literacy. Most urban workers could read and write in the years after 1905. Or one could tell the stories often told of their growing personal pride that came from learning a very difficult industrial skill and learning to survive in the city. the story of their rising expectations, of their exposure to new ideas from the reading that they did, from the conversations they had with others. And of course, the evidence of all these changes in the rising labor movement and growing membership in left-wing socialist parties. The story of their awakening, as socialists tended to call it.